You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we begin the final hour on a breakneck busy afternoon. Let's continue with more of your phone calls before we head out west. And I don't know about you, I'm ready for a good laugh. Joe from Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul.
Congratulations on that come-from-behind victory over Auburn.
Hey, you know what? I reckon we were just out there just, you know, giving high fives for 52 minutes before we decided to show up and play football. I mean, I was not a happy camper that first 52 minutes of the game. But you know what? If you're going to beat the Barners, rip their heart out while doing it, because you know what? They did this to us in that kick six back a few years ago.
Yes,
they
did.
And you think they had sympathy for us?
No.
No, they didn't. They didn't have no sympathy. And you know, in all reality, I mean, it was a coin. I mean, anybody could have won this game. I mean, because you got to give both teams, you know, as bad as I hate Auburn, you still got to give them credit, because you know what? For the season they've had, But you can't look at this game.
Hey, let's move
that
on, Joe, because that game is over. What about this weekend in Atlanta?
I see us beating Georgia maybe like 30-15, you know, 14, something like that.
30-15, okay.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and Joe, if I could indulge a moment of your time to maybe give us one or two reasons why you think Alabama will win 30-15.
And this goes to the Iron Bowl game, too. I think we were playing around, because when Georgia plays, Auburn plays kind of the defense Georgia does, and same A&M did, and Florida, they blitz every play. And I don't know why we didn't start throwing something like screen passes out against the Barners to, you know, kind of open that defense up. And maybe we were just kind of, you know, hiding their hand.
Joe, what about this weekend? Give me a reason why Alabama wins.
Because we're going to be the best offense that Georgia's faced all year. And okay. The best defense they've faced all year.
The best defense they've faced all year?
I mean, who else have they played that's got a defense that's not clicking on cylinders like
that? I was pretty impressed with Clemson's defense.
Well, I mean, yeah, they were healthy then. I mean, you know, you're talking about the end of the year now. And Georgia's had a cakewalk, but when they face Alabama, it's going to make playing Georgia. I mean, Georgia Tech.
Hey, just hold on one second. I'm just going to read you these numbers, okay? 3-7-13-0-0-10, 13-7-6-17-7-0. Do you know what I just read you?
I'm guessing that's the coordination to Treasure Island?
No, those are the numbers. That is the amount of points that Georgia has given up game by game in the 12-game season that they just completed. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Cody, who is up next in Georgia. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
Is it okay if I could share a little info on myself?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that I am a 10-year-old quarterback for the Roswell Hornets in Georgia. My team just went 11-0 and won the fourth straight Super Bowl.
That is fantastic, Cody. Your family must be very proud of you.
Yeah, they are.
Well, tell me what happens next. I mean, where do you go? What's the next level?
Well, I actually wanted to tell you about my question.
Oh, okay. Well, go right ahead.
All right. My question is, should Georgia fans be concerned that the referees may help Alabama to the SEC get two teams in the playoffs?
Cody, I don't think so. And I know people always think I'm crazy when I answer like this, but I think these are the best referees the SEC has. And they want to stay the best referees by advancing to the next round, whatever bowl game that is, or whatever ranking that they get. So I don't see anyone on this crew, and I don't know who the crew is, that is going to be thinking anything other than let's call this exactly the way we see it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Paul, and I enjoyed it.
Well, congratulations again, Cody. That was a fantastic accomplishment that you had. Let's talk to Albert, who is up next. Hey, Albert.
Hey, Paul, how you going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. We have a problem on the Plains, and, you know, all the fans are upset over the last 3 weeks about the demise of the Auburn Tigers in the second half. And that clearly comes from one thing, and that's the offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, who needs to pack his bags in a hurry and leave Auburn, Alabama. He has not won anywhere significantly that he's coached. They ran him out of Georgia. They ran him out of Colorado. For some strange reason, we went over to South Carolina and picked him up, and we need to ship him back. If you look at the last three games that we are all upset about, all the way back from, you know, after Texas A&M, Mike Bobo has made bonehead calls on plays that elementary kids could simply call. You know, he's throwing the ball when we should be running the ball, when you have somebody like Tank Bigsby in the backfield, and he's throwing the ball. Saturday, we had the game won. But what happens? Mike Bobo, on the 20-yard line, decides to tell a one-legged quarterback to try to pass, and he gets sacked and takes us out of the field goal range. You know, Brian Harrison has to understand one thing. Auburn is not going to stand for losing. Now, we're going to give him a pass this year, but if he doesn't fire Mike Bobo, look out. Next year, Auburn will be looking for another head coach.
Albert, thank you very, very much. Appreciate your contribution there. Greg is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I've watched you a lot, but this is the first time I've gotten in.
Well, I am really glad.
Congratulations to me, I guess. Hey, just want to say this first of all. I have no dog in the fight, but I want the Alabama fans to shut up about how their team is playing. They won the game Saturday night. Go back and look when Alabama was on their own goal line. They were trailing. Quarterback goes back to pass. There was a blatant hold on the right side of the line in the end zone by the Alabama lineman. What's that mean if it's called? Bama loses the game because they give 2 points.
True.
To Auburn. So I'm sick of Alabama griping about what's happened to their team. They're lucky they even won the game, but the SEC officials made sure their children took that game. Touchdown pass, the receiver pushed off as well to get a little bit of distance between he and the cornerback. Go back and look at the video. The SEC officials are pathetic. That's all I got. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's always good to have a happy customer here at the SEC Network. We're not done yet. Jason Kersey covers the Oklahoma Sooners. Well, at least they worried until yesterday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. Glad you're with us. Mike Bone says hiring Lincoln Riley is one of the biggest moves in the history of the game. Okay. This sleeping... Welcome to Jason Kersey, covers Oklahoma. And Jason, it is good to have you on, and just your reaction to everything that has transpired over the last 48 hours.
Yeah, hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. It was completely unexpected. You know, we really had been hearing the LSU rumors heat up over the few days leading up to the Bedlam game on Saturday. And I never really bought that. I thought that it was unlikely that he would leave for LSU. It never really passed the smell test to me. And then when Lincoln Riley flatly denied the LSU rumors right after the game, that sort of ended it. The problem was none of us on the call were smart enough to follow up to Lincoln's question or his statement, "I will not be the LSU coach." None of us were smart enough to ask, "But will you be the Oklahoma coach?" And I think everybody just assumed that that meant that this was over. Next day, yeah, we get word that he's going to USC, knocking clandestine. They did this in absolute secrecy. And, yeah, I mean, I think the entire state of Oklahoma is reeling right now.
And he was a very popular guy, to put it mildly. I mean, how high is that anger right now toward him?
It's high. I mean, it's not just that he left. I think it's the way he left. I think it's the fact that now Oklahoma's recruiting class has completely imploded. They've lost, I think my last count was, they've lost six commitments between the 2022 and 2023 classes just in the last 24 hours. There's also, you know, speculation and certainly the possibility with the one-time transfer exception that some people from on the current Oklahoma roster could end up following Lincoln to USC. And then I would also say, so the fans are upset, but I had a chance to visit with a few players yesterday, with a few support staff, with a few assistant coaches, and a lot of people are upset at the way this was handled. No one had any idea it was happening, and I think a lot of people are just somewhere between furious and shocked.
Well, it's interesting that the reaction, and I saw your tweet about the president and everyone else, but the Lincoln Riley to LSU rumor has been out there for some time, so it would seem logical to think that maybe something was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the LSU rumor is what sort of was out there the most and was what a lot of people were saying, and about everything was sort of centered on LSU, and I think a lot of people sort of lost track of maybe there's something else. And again, USC handled this so secretly that nobody really got wind of it until Sunday morning. So, and it frankly, it sounds, based on the press conference we just got out of with Bob Stoops, Joe Harris, the president of Oklahoma, and Joe Castiglione, that they didn't really have any idea this was going on until Sunday morning.
I've heard many, many people, I'm guilty of it, maybe, like, not guilty, I've said it, but we all collectively have anointed Joe Castiglione as among the greatest living athletic directors. But when you're in that position, shouldn't you always be prepared, especially when you have a hot coach who's been linked to the Dallas Cowboys, LSU, and who knows how many other places?
Yeah. And he sort of addressed that today. He said that he does sort of have a list of possible candidates that he's kept in his office, but he just didn't think he'd have to activate it at this point. So I don't think that he's completely unprepared. He's made coaching hires before. Now, what's interesting, though, Paul, is that he has not made a football coaching hire, really, an outside, conducted a coaching search since 1998, since Bob Stoops. When Bob Stoops stepped down, it was very seamlessly handed over to Lincoln Riley. So there was no coaching search to be done then. So it's going to be interesting to see how Joe Castiglione handles this because, you know, he's made basketball hires. He's made baseball hires. He's made other hires. He hasn't made another football hire since 1998. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles this.
Let's talk about Bob Stoops for a second. Explain the move to bring him back and what does it mean?
Yeah, I think that Bob Stoops, being someone who is still in Norman, who is still connected to the program, who's still involved with the program, certainly helps Oklahoma just have a little bit of stability this time. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, they're losing recruits. There are guys, Spencer Rattler just entered the transfer portal today. There are going to be more, certainly guys enter the transfer portal. They needed somebody to just stabilize this thing. And now how successful that will be, we'll see. But having someone like Bob Stoops on retainer doesn't hurt. And I think that's why it made sense for them to make that move, especially because right now the staff is also somewhat imploding. You know, this morning I was out at the Oklahoma City airport at 5 a.m. Alex Grinch is with Lincoln Riley. Dennis Simmons, the outside receivers coach and assistant head coach, is with Lincoln Riley. So this staff needed a jolt of stability. The players needed to know that things were in good hands. I think the player parents needed to know that things were in good hands, and Bob Stoops at least gives you some semblance of credibility, at least in the short term.
I'm sure he was asked today, but what is the percent possibility of him being the coach permanently?
Not good, but he was asked about that. What Bob said is that he will do this as long as Joe Castiglione needs him to. Let me rephrase that. He said he'll do it as long as it takes for them to find a new permanent head coach. And he said he expects that won't take very long. So Bob Stoops will not be the permanent head coach. This is an interim thing.
So let's get to who will be the permanent head coach at Oklahoma. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing a lot of names tossed around. You know, Matt Campbell from Iowa State is a popular name. He's certainly been a popular candidate at a lot of places over the years, proven that he can play with the big boys. He's beaten Oklahoma twice. Brent Venables, the Clemson defensive coordinator, many, many years here with Bob Stoops. He knows Oklahoma. He knows what it takes to win at Oklahoma. And you know, he's never been a head coach, but I think Joe Castiglione likes Brent Venables, and I think he will certainly be someone that they take a look at. You're hearing Jamie Chadwick is a name that's been tossed around a little bit. I've certainly heard people mention Luke Fickell. I don't know that I see that as a real possibility. There's really any number of guys that are out there that look. Oklahoma is still an extremely good job. It's one of the best jobs in college football. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how the SEC move sort of factors into this, just because that's sort of the rumblings around here right now is that maybe Lincoln Riley didn't want to coach in the SEC. Now, Joe Castiglione just denied that. He said he didn't think that had anything to do with it, but that's out there. And so I think that they're going to want someone who's excited to take on this challenge, because this is going to absolutely be a challenge, as you well know.
On the SEC front, I mean, we know Texas has imploded. Oklahoma has limped to the finish, and now I'll leave it to you to describe where it is at this hour. It could change by the next hour, but is this SEC move likely to happen sooner?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has said 2025, as you know, as sort of the date. I don't think anybody really believes that that's true, that anybody really believes that 2020, it's going to take that long. I don't think it makes any sense on any level for Oklahoma and Texas to drag this out all that way, 4 more years. I don't think it's going to happen this next year. I think that's pretty impractical. But 2023, 2024 is certainly possible. That's sort of what I've heard.
Jason, thank you very much. What a job you have trying to deal with that. If you You might want to call some people around the SEC who have dealt with this, especially those who covered Lane Kiffin leaving for Southern Cal about 11 years ago. It sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Paul, I've been on this beat pretty much for 10 years. I've never had to do a coaching search. This is all new to me.
Well, I'm sure your family knows that you will not be home much. So all the best, Jason. We'll be following you very closely. It does sound... I don't know. I sit here and listen to that, and Oklahoma's dealing with what so many other programs deal with. These things are chaotic, and they always come at the worst possible time. Bob Stoops, I think, quit in, May or June. But when you walk out 2 weeks before recruiting, it sets a chain of events that is simply unparalleled. We will continue here for another 30 minutes. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Had a chance to jump on a Zoom with some of our university leadership and kind of talk through what this might be. And it came together quickly, but to be honest, in this day and age in college football, it kind of has to if it's going to. It's just the way of the world right now. But I would say the impact of meeting with our university leadership was pretty immediate for me. I'm aware of this program, aware of what it's done, what it can be. I think that's pretty well known in the college football world, and that was part of it. But you can't just rely on the logo. You can't just because it's USC. That's a great start, but that's all it is a start. You better have the right people behind it. You better have commitment at all levels. You better have alignment at all levels, or you're not going to be successful. When I met with our university leadership, I could see there was total alignment, and more than just alignment, there was excitement. I mean, you could tell they were ready to go, and their energy spoke to me. It came together pretty quickly. Had some conversations, some tough conversations back and forth, and making a decision. But it was tough to leave the place I left. It was, but at the same time, I knew this was the right thing, and knew this is where me and my family wanted to be.
I know Mike has talked a lot about just building a championship program and building up the infrastructure around it. When you just sort of took a cursory look at that, what was your kind of impression of where the program stood, and how much did that just kind of influence your decision to move here?
Well, I think I looked more at potential. Things are going to change. A lot of things are going to change. The roster's going to change. Facilities are going to change. It's going to continue to evolve. I saw the right leadership behind it. I saw a history and tradition of excellence. I saw a place that is fully committed to being where we feel like we can be here. And I felt the exact same way about it. So it's time to go to work now. It's time to build this roster. It's time to do the things that we need to do facility-wise. It's time to bring in the great staff. I mean, this is the fun part. This is where you build it. We're going to get the right people on board, players, staff, everybody, and we're going to work like crazy to get it done.
Lincoln Riley in Southern California being introduced and taking questions as the new Southern Cal head football coach. Let's get back to the calls here. And Antoine is up next in Michigan. Hello, Antoine.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I just called two questions. I called to pick with you for a minute because remember last time I called, it was a while back, and you said Jim Harbaugh would take his annual beating against Ohio State, and Dan Mullen beat him like a drum. Well, Dan Mullen is out, and Jim Harbaugh gave Ryan Day his annual beating. So things have changed, would you say?
Yes.
And one thing, did you think Lincoln Riley made that choice because he didn't want to face, you know, Alabama every time? And then he, you know, and then the Spencer Rattler, he's transferring, so you know where he's going. Do you think that Oklahoma going to the SEC, you think that made his decision? And who's going to, and then do you think that they're going to now, LSU, going to swing for the fences and go for, like, offensive coordinator, like Kansas City offensive coordinator, because he's looking for, you know, a head coaching job?
Antoine, thank you for the call. I think Lincoln Riley became intoxicated by Southern Cal. It's easy to do. He knew what it looked like. He liked the sound of it. I think from his standpoint, he heard an athletic department that offered him the world, that appreciated him, that gave him all the things that you need to offer to attract young and bright talent. And while he was doing well where he was, he thought to himself, you know what, this is a better opportunity at Oklahoma. We may be the king of the roost, but we just got through losing to our rival. We lost earlier in the season, a couple weeks ago, I should say, to another team that we should have beaten. We've had chaos all year. We struggled in half of the games early on. We barely beat Tulane. We had to pull out a bunch of games. And you know what? I've had enough. People do that. I mean, we're all human. And it's hard to constantly nurture people, even if they're making a lot of money. And I think he got wooed and said, yes, it happens. And he just... And I can understand why. Southern Cal is a very attractive place. I've been to that campus. It's a different world. I've been to Oklahoma. It's pretty similar, but it's different. And he's going to, you know, the money is never the factor. Like, these guys all make so much money that they could never spend it. It's just the little things. You know, being offered something by a guy who desperately wanted you versus somebody who just wants to keep you happy so he doesn't have to deal with you. And, you know, I think the uncertainty of the SEC may have been in the back of his mind, but I am one who doesn't think that Lincoln Riley is running away from anyone. I think this is a pretty confident young coach. Let's continue with more phone calls. Lee is up next in California. Hello, Lee. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Good. I listened to your interview a second ago, and the reporter said that everybody over here was surprised and taken aback that Lincoln Riley was coming to USC. I played golf with a bunch of my friends that went to USC the day after Todd Helton was fired, and I told them that they were going to get Lincoln Riley. And bear with me a second here. I'll make a connection, and I'll let you know why I came up with that. Because there's a three or four, like, world beater high schools out here in Orange County that have, like, max prep top recruits that were all, like, going out of state, and a handful of them were already committed to go to Oklahoma. And I told the guys, I'm like, these high schools are steeped in USC tradition. They all have former players, former dads, coaches that all are USC alums. And I said, if they hire Lincoln Riley, automatically the recruits will follow him like the Pied Piper to USC. And that way they already could, like, have a kind of like an instant ready-made team. They'd have a coach, a staff, and major recruits already lined up, racked and stacked to come to USC, which is what USC needs. They need instant results. So I said the day after I was playing golf, the day after Todd Helton got fired, I called that Lincoln Riley was coming. And then let me ramble on a little bit here, because I have another theory that this one's not really based in so much my supposition, but the fact that Jason Garrett just got fired from the Giants for no apparent like reason when the Giants have a plethora of problems. I think Jason Garrett went to the Giants and told him that he was interested in the Oklahoma job, and I think Lincoln Riley already knew he was going to USC a long time ago. How do you like that?
Well, Lee, you were on a roll until you mentioned Jason Garrett, but that's okay. None of us know what these guys are thinking. We really don't. And I think he saw an opportunity, and he was ready for a change. And, you know, maybe he's ready to move on from out of the shadow of Bob Stoops. I mean, Bob Stoops was still there all the time, going to practice. I've had many coaches tell me they don't like that. Now, I'm not blaming this on Bob Stoops. I'm just telling you what other coaches have told me in the past about the former guy still hanging around. Let's check out Elliot, who is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I think Oklahoma's got big problems. I think there's too many jobs open right now and not enough talent to fill them. Here's my question. I think that Lane Kiffin is going to end up at LSU. I think his swagger, his sunglasses, holding the trophy up, I think he's telegraphing that that's where he's headed. I also wonder if he doesn't end up at LSU, where is LSU going to get their talent? That big a school. Do you think anybody would tap the Big Ten that there's a price that would get a Harbaugh or a Day over into the SEC?
No, I don't think so for this reason. I think the Harbaugh and Day are more likely to go to the NFL. They both look like NFL coaches to me. And Ryan Day still has a pretty amazing situation with the talent that he has on that team and the talent that he continues to harvest every winter. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.